for Wednesday night installment of Spirit Alive, the Faith City Church. Well, turn in your Bibles with me, please, tonight. If you're with us, thank you for those that are watching online, live stream. And we want to go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. And if you want to go to Acts chapter, Book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 17, and I'm going to read that in the New Living Translation. I've got a couple of other verses I'd like to read to. Okay, we'd like to talk about the Holy Spirit in the last days. And I'm sure there's so much to say about Holy Spirit, but, He's here with us, first of all. He's in every believer, and there's some prophetic words about what He will accomplish through in the church in his last days. So 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm going to read some more scriptures concerning that later on, but I just want to show you that the greater one lives inside of you, and He's called the Holy Spirit. If you're born again, He lives inside of you. He's resident in you. In fact, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all reside in you. Let's go to the book of Acts, and there was a happening there in the book of Acts. You know the whole theme about the book of Acts in the, the Holy Spirit in chapter 2 was, there was a great outpouring of 120 people. Chapter 1, I think verse 12, 10, or somewhere around there. The Bible says they were in one accord and they were praying in chapter 1. I believe it's verse 10 or 12, somewhere on there. And then it talks about in chapter 2, because Jesus said in chapter 1, verse 4 to verse 8, He says, wait for the promise of my Father, which you've heard me say or mention about before. And so in chapter 1, in verse 10 or 12 there, it says that they were all praying in one accord, chapter 1. Then we turn around and we see in verse 8, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and there was a lot of commotion going on. There was apparently people heard other people speaking in their own language, and these people were a certain kind of particular people that didn't have that language, and they were speaking various kinds of languages. It was a supernatural phenomenon, a great phenomenon that people who were visiting in that area began to hear things from heaven. How many people would like to hear something from heaven? And so that's what happened to them. So in chapter 2, they're sitting around waiting and praying. They were still afraid of the Romans' oppression and all the stuff that was going on there because, they crucified Jesus, and they're hiding in the upper room. And the Bible says that there was a mighty wind that was poured out, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. The Bible says there was a violent wind, a mighty wind that came. And when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, that's what I experienced, a mighty wind. And rivers of water was flowing all at once, and I had such an encounter. It woke me up from my darkness and turned me into light. And so, we read here that all this stuff was going on. There was some kind of confusion about what in the world is going on. There was so much confusion. These people began to speak in tongues. And people said, man, what's going on here? These guys seem weird. They seem like they're drunk. They're all inebriated. And so, the Bible says that Peter had to explain what's happening. And I heard somebody say this. If you go to a church and the pastor or somebody has to explain what's going on in the church, then you're in a good company because, Holy Ghost is moving. And so things happen when the Holy Spirit moves. Amen? And sometimes you don't understand. And I've certainly had that experience myself when I first started going to church. Went to a Pentecostal church. Heard people speaking in tongues. I didn't know what that was. And it was kind of nice, but it was kind of strange at the same time, So I never thought about it. Just thought, hey, okay, people speaking in tongues. I heard about it when I was a kid in school because the nuns taught us about the Holy Spirit. And so I thought, wow, it's okay. I never saw that in my church. But apparently in this church it has that. And so I never really necessarily was afraid of it, but I thought it was, you know, a little different, strange maybe, perhaps. And so then you see other things going on, people getting drunk and laughing, and some people crying, some people shaking. You see those things afterwards. And I didn't know what these things, manifestations were at the time. And so this is going on in chapter 2. They're all filled with the Holy Spirit as far as speaking in tongues. So Peter, Apostle Peter, he had to explain these things. He said, these men are not drunk as you suppose, and so on. And then he goes on to say in chapter 2, verse 17, the New Living Translation says this. He says, in the last days, everybody say last day. God says, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all people. The King James says, all flesh. He said, I'll pour my spirit upon all people, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And so you need to believe that these little children there in the front row, that they'll prophesy, and God will speak to them and pour out his spirit. And you have to believe that. I mean, you have to begin to receive that and accept it. And the Bible says that God will talk to your children, even when you can't get to them. You know, when all the arguing happens and you try to explain things to them and try to warn them and you try to reason with them. But if you can get a hold of God and you know these scriptures, and there are scriptures for it. I don't have them, I got them in my notes there, but he said God will talk to them. The Bible said, in fact, the Lord says that great shall be their peace and they'll be shall taught of the Lord. And that's in the Bible. And that God will talk to them and get a hold of them when you can't. And they're living with you even. But you can't talk to them because they won't listen to you. You know, they smoke pot. Some of you guys don't even know that. Your kids are smoking pot or cigarettes or drinking. But they're there. These are Christian kids. But God will talk to them. And God will get a hold of them if you begin to, you know, mind your own business. In some instances, you know, the Bible says, if you take care of your things, said, I'm going to take care. Just go ahead and serve me, and I'll take care of those other things. How many know that God promises his word is real? And so he said, your daughters, your sons will prophesy. Well, that's supernatural. So you can hang on to that. If they're not in church, you better, you know, there's a song that Tom Cochran wrote. I remember Tom Cochran came to town. Anybody know who Tom Cochran is? He has a band named Red Rider, I believe, that's way back. One of my favorite tunes. He says, my boy's going to play in the big leagues. My boy's going to knock him dead. Amen. How many people remember that? Huh? You're still coming to church like this. And you can say the same thing because you're the Holy Ghost can get a hold of your kids and they're going to be in the big leagues. That's in church, amen. And the Lord's going to get a hold of them. Thank God. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Well, we can hang on to those scriptures. So here in John chapter 7, and let's go to John chapter 7, verse 37. This is a scripture that's, you know, revealed to us. Jesus is talking here. In John chapter 7, I actually didn't get it on in my notes there, but I want to add it on here. John chapter 7, verse 37 and 38. Got to go way down here. Here it is. On the last day, this is the New Living. On the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water shall flow from his heart. Verse 39. when he said living water, he was speaking of the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in him. But the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not been glorified, or, you know, the King James says glorified. So here we see something very spectacular that Jesus explained to those people, that if you are a Christian, that in these last days, you know, instead of trying to believe God for some kind of spectacular something, you can just go to the Word and start believing it. Because people kind of, you know, they say, I wish God would move in some way, some spectacular way, and God's given us His Word to believe. So we should believe the Word that God's going to, when we believe the Word, Holy Ghost is going to work for us on our part. So, you know, in these days, we mentioned that there is fear, which is a greater sense of what people are experiencing today. They're afraid of a lot of things, and they're afraid of, they're going to lose their rights. Primarily, I've seen everybody that I know, and I'm really surprised at some people, you know, their reaction about losing their rights and being afraid of this and being afraid of that, running out and so on and so forth. When we have the Holy Spirit, that He'll never leave us or forsake us. And He'll strengthen you and help you. If you listen to everybody, it'll frighten you. If you just listen to them and all night and you're sitting in bed and you start being afraid. And I listened to last night, Pastor Higgin. He said, Brother Higgin always taught us, ask yourself whenever you have a question. And he would always ask, if you ever went to Brother Higgin back, you know, all the people that was with him, he'd always say, well, what does the Scripture say? What does the Bible say? What does the Word say? So we can just go to the Word and get counsel from the Word ourselves. And so we don't have to look to anybody, and you can get into prayer. The Bible says when Paul became, you know, when the Lord saved him, he got born again on a spectacular way. Not too many people get born like what Paul got. I mean, the Lord had to get a hold of him, throw him on the ground somehow, and he got blind from the light of the, you know, the anointing, I guess, did that for a while, and then, you know, scales fell from his eyes, began to see. Then immediately he knew, he says, what am I? He had a revelation of Jesus. And he started to preach right away about Jesus. And so not too many people get saved in that spectacular way, but people do get encounters of the Spirit. I've had them more than one time. And I guess maybe I had to have these experiences, because otherwise I would not be here today. I would have never went into the ministry without that kind of an experience. They say ministers who are called will have a tremendous experience in the Spirit. And so not just one time, but a number of times. And so, but all of us can believe this, that out of our innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Like, I don't know, maybe you're feeling a little bit of unenergetic, or maybe you're down and you're discouraged a little bit, but we have to understand that God is bigger than our, you know, lethargy or unenergetic ways. He's inside of us. In fact, He can even quicken your spirit right now. In your body. The Bible says, Romans says, He'll quicken your body by His mortal spirit, your mortal body by His Spirit inside of you. So God can quicken us and help us and strengthen us even right now. And so we were just, you know, I don't know, but we were walking the puppies. You know, it gets pretty cold. I know you must get cold, because especially when you get, you know, walking in minus 38 and 34. And I mean, you're walking all day long. But, you know, especially if you're suffering already some kind of effects and you go out and that kind of thing, it's even doubly bad. You have to, you know, in fact, you think, you know, you have COVID. Or something. Every time somebody has something, that must be COVID. Well, not everything is COVID. Everybody has the, you know, kind of a slight, you know, things go wrong in the wintertime, right? In this kind of weather. So, so there's fear that's entered the hearts of people, and there's people are fighting fear about different things. They're not getting energized, and this is not happening, that's not happening. And so we have to begin to depend on the Spirit of God inside of us. And here in our scripture, John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them." Who's he talking about? Well, we'll just look at it in a minute. "Because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world." Let's go to verse 1. My good friend, I don't know who's back there because I can't see that far with all the lights. Are we in chapter 1? Verse 1? "Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God, for there are many false prophets in the world." You know, that's right now. You have to test the Spirit if what they're saying, because somebody could be a Christian and speaking from another spirit. They don't have to be, you know, they could be influenced by something else and speak something that's not of the truth. And you can test it. You have to go under the microscope of the Spirit. He says, so you can test it. So we'll show you here. "For there are many false prophets." It's not just necessarily always talking about, you know, somebody says, "I'm a prophet." I've never seen, I went home the other day where I preached what I had to preach the Sunday before, I think it was. And then when Pastor Hagin preached, I think Sunday night or Monday, and I had some messages from some of my friends that, "Hey, you're preaching this Sunday night or Sunday morning." And I'd been wrestling with that for a few days and told my wife for a couple of weeks about, you know, whether to start talking about the last days. And we did a seminar with Bob Yanyan from Tulsa, this online. We went in and had the session with him about the last days and what's happening in the last days. And so I got, you know, fired up about it, and I was excited about it and had questions, and I have been having questions for a long, long time. And that I just feel that our people need to understand what's happening in the last days so that you don't get frightened to the point where it paralyzes you and you're full of anxiety and you're afraid and you're catching whatever everybody else has in the world. What's going on in the political arena? What's happening in the health sector of our country and economy and around the world and different things going on that's happening, that's affecting us in so many ways. Now, science tells us that just watching television and watching what's going on around the world affects you physically right now. What you take in and what you read and what you look at affects you physiologically. And so there are many people, and one of the signs Jesus said last day when he's coming, people's hearts failing for fear. And there's that fear going on, and it's affecting different people. And they're not even in those places, and yet they're being affected by it. Your mind begins to get affected, and you started to feel it in your body. So here in verse, there's many false prophets, so things that are being said are not really true to the word. They're saying a lot of people are saying a lot of things, but is that the word? Is that the word for you? It might be for somebody else, but maybe not for you, because God has a plan for you. Verse 2, it says here, "This is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God." Pretty self-explanatory. Verse 2, "But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of Antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world and indeed is already here." So, where don't you understand that we're living in the last days where Antichrist is? His spirit is moving, and things are, the demonic forces are moving more than ever and causing a lot of problems all over the world. And so, you know, when you look at all these scriptures together, you begin to see a clear picture that this Spirit is working in the people through different people. Verse 4 says, but you belong to God. Now, we understand Antichrist is here and different evil spirits are here. But he said, but you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won victory over those people. And of course, those forces, the evil forces, because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. So we have the greater one living inside of us. So he's strengthening you. He's helping you. And no matter what happens in the world, you can be sure that he's going to be there to help you. So when you stay in this realm, if you stay, I used to hear Brother Hagin all the time, he said, if you stay in the Spirit, if you remain in the Spirit, that is in faith, and walking with the Spirit, you will never be defeated. But if you go into the realm of the soul, that is, if you walk by how you feel and what you think about everything, then you're going to go down. You'll be taken down by anger and resentments and strife and division, and it'll affect you to the point where you're rendered, you know, ineffective in your own faith. In fact, Pastor Hagin talked about Sunday night. He talked about, you know, walking in love, which is the greatest thing that will make your faith work. You know, walking in love is more than just, you know, hugging somebody and telling them nice things. You know, walking in love is more than that. It's more than just, you know, it's when you start thinking evil about people and their intentions and all that stuff and start talking about people, then that's not right, and causing people to fall, so on. So we need to see that the person who lives in us, the Holy Spirit, is here to strengthen us, and that he's greater than any power in the world that would have us, Satan would have us to think that, you know, we're down, we're going down. We're not going down. Amen? And so, in fact, you know, you look at it that way, if it's going to get really bad, Jesus is going to take us out of here. And I don't know about you, but I ain't staying here. Because if he's going to come and get us, we're going with him. So thank God for that. But, you know, and he says that if you believe in Jesus, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. When you can't do something, the Holy Ghost is going to be there in you to work something, to work a miracle, to work something that you need. You don't need to have miracles if you got the Word, because the Word will do it. Praise God. Amen? So the greater one is at work in us right now. He's at work in us right now. So we're living in the last days, and the spirit of Antichrist is at work doing as much damage as possible. We need to know that God is at work also in our midst. So there's no need to panic, as many people are being fearful, and maybe in this time, maybe in our own town or maybe around us. They say, how this will affect me? What should I be doing? Well, God wants us to know that we are in a battle, of course, and he said that we have already won it because Jesus won the battle. These forces that are around us, we need to do something about it, unless if we don't do something with our lives, I know for sure that we have our own responsibility for what happens in our own lives. We have to deal with our own spirituality. We have to take care of our own hearts. We have to take care of our own faith. We have to take care of our own ways and walking with God. Like, I'm not responsible for your walk with God. And you're not responsible for mine. Neither am I not responsible for all your answers to prayers. Now, I can pray for certain things and all that, but you have to pray for different things on your own and have your own faith. Wouldn't it be, you know, crazy if you had to, everybody had to depend on you? That'd be a horrible thing. That, you know, you're responsible for everybody. To a certain degree, we are, right? You have to be responsible for your children to a certain degree. But you know that sometimes they get into trouble and you tell them something, but they still get into trouble. And you say, well, you've got to suffer the consequences then. So we read these scriptures, 1 John chapter 4 and 1 to 4, about that. He says here that we don't have to believe every spirit. We don't have to believe everything everybody says. Not that we have to be against people, but we have to check out if what they're saying is true by the Holy Spirit. And that is that lining up with the Bible? Does that sound like God? Or is that a little bit of terror coming out from another angle? And so he says in verse 4, said, we have already won the battle over those spirits. So there's a spread of fear going around, but understanding that we have Holy Spirit living in us, there is a fear going about around the world. If you hadn't picked it up, you'll see it everywhere. People are afraid. So when people are in a panic and fear, they're afraid they're going to lose something. Whenever fear is evident, it's because people are afraid they're going to lose something. That they're going to lose their rights, they're going to lose this, lose that. And, you know, pretty much you have to make sure that you don't lose your mind. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, King James says this. The Bible says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. So inside you, if there is fear, it's around you, but it's not in you because you don't have a spirit of fear. Like you're born again. When you're born again, you're born with the Holy Spirit inside you. There's no fear inside you. It might try to come to your mind. It might be around you, but it doesn't have to come inside you. And so it's up to you. That's why the 23rd Psalm says, I will not be afraid. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we're living in the realm of the 23rd Psalm right now. Jesus is our shepherd, and we're walking in this valley of the shadow of death. This valley of shadow of death is really a representation of this world. There's death everywhere. Death is working right now. And so we don't have to be afraid, because the Bible says, for you are with me, your rod and your staff to comfort me. You know, the shepherd has a staff, right? It's a rod and a staff. You know, he can steer you in the right direction. Thank God for his direction and leading by the Spirit. Holy Ghost will lead us and guide us in the right direction. I always remember this verse of scripture that I, you know, I'm reminded quite often. Psalm 20 or Isaiah 26:3. So he says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So if we want to be in peace, we got to do something with our mind. Get a hold of your mind. Get a hold of your mind. Ask yourself, you know, I remember this lady always said, think about what you're thinking about. Because that's going to affect your physiology, your body, your chemistry, and what goes on in your body. So we're not to live in fear no matter what's happening around us in his life. Even when we see people getting upset, you have to decide whether or not you're going to start jumping into that too. Many people are panicking, thinking the devil has taken over many areas of life and their rights are going to be lost and they're going to lose this and lose that and they get into, you know, different things. So, you know, even if that's the case, we still make our stand. Right? Even if they took everything away from us, you'll still be free. Amen. I mean, that doesn't sound right, does it? But hey, I heard a guy. You remember what's his name? Mandar. He did the biggest Ponzi scheme ever. Remember his name? Madoff. He made off with a lot of money anyway. but anyway. He said when he's in jail, I mean, that guy is a multimillionaire, like billionaire, really. Eh? And he said when he was in jail, he said, I had the best time ever. I just feel so at peace. I mean, he didn't have to. I mean, he seemed to be set free of everything. But he's in jail. That's not a very good analogy. So, yeah, I don't want to be in jail. I mean... But at the same time, what am I saying? Is that, you know, no matter what happens, you can be free. Right? Sometimes, you notice this, you get into some kind of a fit of something, and you keep going on, seeing the ball keep rolling and rolling, and you can't, it doesn't seem to stop, and you're just getting upset. The more and more you think about it, you get upset. Have you ever been there? And you got to stop yourself and say, hey, okay, wait a minute, I got to get off here, and I got to get a hold of myself. Talk to yourself. And, you know, I've seen so many upset in the world, because just being a pastor, I get to see different things. And, I mean, you know, there's people upset everywhere. We need to get a hold of ourselves. Get a hold of your mind. And start making yourself think in line with Scripture. That's why Isaiah 26 is that you'll be in perfect peace if you focus on the things of what God's saying. If you want to be at peace. We want peace, all right, but we don't ever want to throw our cares on the Lord. As long as you got them, you got them. You know, I don't. I say this, you know, I don't have a care in the world. And yet I got lots of them. And sometimes I can feel like it, but I said, I don't have a care in the world. I'm walking by how I feel. Amen? So, here's something, another scripture about that. You know, we see 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, so we have a spirit of power. That's a spirit of authority, love, and of a sound mind. I got a sound mind. Romans 8:14-17, New Living says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. You don't have that spirit. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are God's children, we are heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. If we are to share his glory, we must also share his sufferings. You know, there's things that we suffer in this life as a Christian. I'm not talking about suffering like, you know, headaches and back pain and all that. I'm not talking about that. We suffer things, you know, with persecution, and sometimes you suffer for your faith. People make fun of you because you believe certain things, because you hang around at Faith City Church. Maybe they say, you go to Faith City Church? Yeah. You know, do you believe that? So, oh, yeah. You know, we do. And thank God. You know, hey, listen, Faith City Church, Spirit Alive, I mean, we have to stay in a certain line. You know, we can't just be doing what we want to do and have a reputation. We got to stay within the realm that we're given and preach the word. So I meet people all the time. And 99.9% of the people that I talk to, they said, hey, I enjoy Spirit Alive. And I had a letter just the other day from someone that said, you know what, hey, you know, I'm not trying to change your mind about, you know, Kenneth Copeland or Brother Hagin or whatever. You do a good job with what you're doing, they said. But there's some other things you could hear, and I'm not telling you to change your mind, but here's something that I'd like to offer you. And thank God people care. They want to share information and help out. So, you know, we want to give good news. So during the time when John was writing this letter, there was stuff that's going around in that time where people... During that time, people were believing in all kinds of things. I guess Gnosticism was, I can't hardly say that, Gnosticism. Is that how you say it? I have to say it really slow. Because my language, somehow my tongue is does different things. certain words I can't say because I learned a certain way to put my tongue. I remember when I first started school and I started going to a white school. We were a native school, right? So we had our own ways to talk. We just talked the way we always talked. So we went to another school, and when we said something, they'd look at us. They didn't know whether to correct us or not. In fact, sometimes Maxine says the same things that she used to say when she was grade 8. You know, and it sounds much like Pastor Steve. And so we can't pronounce certain things. But that's the way it is, I guess, because we speak in tongues all the time. I don't know. So, these non-sticks, Lord, sorry. So, Gnosticism, these Gnostics, what's going on here? The Lord is interfering. Lord, is he saying something? Okay, so this is a collection of religious ideas that there's a lot of people during that day. There was people were had the spiritual beliefs, but they were just taking on anything that a collection of spiritual, I guess it's almost time to close here. Is that good now? So anyways, so the people were just taking whatever they want to believe about God and about spirituality. So John had to correct them. And he said, okay, there's these spirits going on. Don't you have to test the spirits? And just don't believe everything people say. And so that message is for us today. We can't just believe everything everybody tells you. You can't even believe the CBC even. At times. They might not have everything, all the right information all the time. It's not the gospel. I'm not telling you not to believe them. I believe them most of the time. But sometimes there's things that are on there. You know, people say this. I mean, you know, people report on what they report on. But there's other things. Go to NBC. It's all the same anyway, I guess. But so there will be an outpouring of the Spirit. And you have to remember that Holy Spirit is given to us to strengthen us, to strengthen our lives, to help us. And no matter what we face in life, He will always be there for you. No matter what spirit is coming against you. You know that scripture that... let's close with two prayer scriptures. Let's go to Romans. Not Romans. Something's going on here. Lord's trying to move. That's not me. It's getting louder. He's trying to come in here. He's up there somewhere. He's saying, Roma, you said that's the last thing you're going to say. Go to Ephesians before just close with this two prayers really quick. So this is something that you could pray for yourself or pray for your friend. Verse 16. Okay. Ephesians 1, let's go to verse 16. And this is something you pray for yourself or pray for somebody that you want to pray for. And there's so much meaning in there. This is how we should ask God to. So he said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Paul is talking at Ephesus, the people there. He says, you should say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I cease not to give thanks for the people of God at Faith City Church. Or I cease not to give thanks for John or my sister, you know, Julia or whatever their name is. I cease not to give thanks for them. I'm making mention of them in my prayers. So you're praying in line with the scripture. And the next verse of scripture says this, verse 17. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory may give unto to Lisa the spirit of wisdom, or to all the people of Faith City Church, a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. One version says, in the knowledge of who they are in Christ, who they are in Him. I pray that you will know that you'll have a revelation of who you are in Christ, who you have, what you have in Christ, in the knowledge of Him. Who are you? You are more than just a natural person. You're God's child. That's what it says in that verse of scripture we read. My little children, you are of God. You and I are of God. We're of God's children. So, I mean, if God's your child, if you're a child of God, why would the devil can't come and attack you unless you got to come and talk to the Father God first. I mean, if somebody comes to your house and says, I'm going to come and get your child right now and slap your child around, you say, you better talk to me first. You'd have a stick or something. I got to tell you about, we've had problems with woodpeckers. And I told Archie's helping. Praise God, Archie, one of these days we'll be able to get up there. There's holes like this. And he looks out every once in a while, Archie. waves at me. So anyway, we have these problems with these with these woodpeckers. And sometimes I'm you know, just standing there and boop, 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 boop. I run outside and there he is. Now I know when he hears the door, he takes off and starts to laugh. Just laughing away. And sometimes I bought a BB gun to scare it off. So I got this gun that's all ready to go. And one day I went there. It was like, I don't know, 8 o'clock in the morning. And took the gun. And I heard a boo, 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 boo. So I went to get the gun. Walking like this. I got a gun, a black. I wonder if people say, who's that guy? And my wife, too. Wait to ambush that thing. But anyways, thank God for the Spirit. Amen? Verse 18 says, the eyes of your understanding, or the eyes of your spirit, be enlightened. We need some enlightenment. We need some revelation. That you may know what is the hope of His calling. In other words, you need to know what God called you to do. What's He calling you to do right now? And what is the real calling in your life? The Bible says God has called each one of us and given us a purpose in life. Who we should hook up to. Who should we have relationship with. Who we should be with. We're not meant to be alone. And so, the hope of our calling. And people who've lost hope end up dying early. In fact, it tells us, you know, when you retire, thank God you got purposes. They said you retire and you're tired. You know, we were talking to a financial guy at a bank. He said, you know, some people retire and Roma, you know, you should take that early, they said to me. Just go ahead and take it. Pastor Ken told me, keep it till 70. Or take it early. Whatever, we talk, had a good talk anyway. But, you know, as far as, taking pension and all that, right? But anyway, he said this. Sometimes, you know, he said, you know, I work with a lot of folks. He said, sometimes people, you know, they retire and they have a lot of money there. They got, and then they die. They never get the joy of their money. So he says to me, take your money now. But I don't say anything. I just say, you know, Psalm 91 says long life. And we did talk about that after. But he says, anyway, we need to know what our hope is. What's your future? You do have a future. And so God wants all of us to know that. So it's not to be choked by the Antichrist. Right? What is the richness of the glory of His inheritance? In other words, what did Jesus buy for you? What do you have as a child of God? What belongs to you? God wants us to know what belongs to us. Well, strength belongs to us. If we're weak, if we're afraid, well, being courageous that belongs to us. Not being afraid of anything. So those are things that belong to us. God wants us to know. The next verse of Scripture says this. What is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe according to the working of His mighty power? And they say this is one of the most powerful Scriptures in the New Testament about God's power. That power that raised Jesus from the dead, not just because they raised Him from the dead, from rigor mortis, but the power over sin and death. That kind of power lives inside of us. Hallelujah. Amen. And verse 19 or 20, which He demonstrated, or wrath in Christ, the word wrath means demonstrated, when He raised Him from the dead. That's just talking about the previous verse. That set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. In other words, that's what we have in Him. That's available to us. Verse 21. Far above all principality. Now watch this. You've been raised with Jesus. And there are evil spirits, antichrist spirits, or whatever it is, around us. There's three kinds of spirits that you have to deal with every day. It's right here. Principalities, powers, and might, or spirits, wicked spirits, or wicked spirits of this world. So we have to deal with those spirits every day. Evidently, they'll try to appear like they're nice, you know, but you have authority over them. And if you don't do anything about them, they'll hang around with you as long as you leave them hang around with you. And every name that is not named, not only the world, but is the world to come. So we need to pray this prayer for ourselves so that we'll all know what belongs to us and what we can do in this last day by the Holy Spirit. Quickly, let's go to the other verse. We won't do the same, but we'll just kind of read it. I just want to point out one thing there. Let's go to chapter 3, I believe it's verse 16. This is the other prayer, Holy Spirit-inspired prayer we should pray. Ephesians 3. Let's go to the previous verse and see what it says here. Okay, go to verse 16. He said, we could pray this. Father, I'm praying this prayer for myself and for Judy or John or whoever it is we're praying, or I'm praying this for the church. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm praying that you would grant every person at Faith City Church, according to the riches of your glory, that they'd be strengthened right now. God will give you things one day at a time. You don't just pray this prayer one time and all of a sudden you're strong forever. No, it's something you do every day. You have to do this every day. According to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ, that Holy Spirit that's in you, He wants to strengthen you. He's called, Jesus said, He's going to be in you to strengthen you. That's what He said in John chapter 16. Verse 17 says this, that Christ might dwell in your heart by faith, that you're being rooted and grounded in love. How many people know that we need the love of God to hold us together? Verse 18, that we may comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, depth, height. In other words, that it's, you can never fully understand the love of God. It's just beyond our imagination how you could love God. How could someone that murdered one of your family members, how could you go up to them and say, you know, I forgive you. And I want to let you know I love you. You can't do that on your own. But you can do it in Christ. You can let it go. In fact, Jesus said, let go of it, drop it, let it go. Or it'll kill you, it'll destroy you. If you hold that in your heart all the rest of your life. And not only that, but it'll affect your faith life. Your faith will be hampered forever if you hang on to it. And verse 19, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. Verse 20, now unto Him that is able to do, now He's giving praise, exceeding abundantly, above all that we dare to ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Anything you can imagine, He can do far better than what you can think. Let's go and close. Father, we want to thank you in the name of Jesus for the work of your Spirit in us. Let's go ahead and stand as we close this session, that let us all recognize, Lord, that you are working inside of us right now. That Holy Spirit, you're in us right now. We acknowledge your work inside of us. Your word says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13 that you're working inside of us to help us to do, to be willing to do what you want us to do. Not only that, but you're giving us the ability to do things that we cannot do on our own. So we want to thank you for that right now. Father, we receive your strength. We receive direction in our lives. We cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus, and the angels of God are going before us. We thank you that they are here to protect us, and that by your Spirit you're leading us. And so we pray and we release everything that would cause us to be hindered, any kind of anger and animosity, any kind of bad thoughts that would cause us to be hampered in our faith. And Father, we forgive people. We will not destroy them or hurt them, but we will help people in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this time. We thank you for that. Anybody that has never known Jesus, that is watching online, Father, or in here, they, all you have to say today is, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Come into my life. Save me. I need to be born again. We thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus to be the Savior of the world. And now, Lord, we thank you for that person asking you to come into their lives. We give you praise. And everyone that's been away from God, you just have to say, Lord, forgive me for walking away. I'm coming home. You said that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name. And fill every heart, every hungry heart with a fresh anointing as you go to bed tonight. Bless all the children as you go to school. We thank you for meeting every single need, both spiritual and natural needs. We give you praise. We love you. We appreciate your Father. You're a good God. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.